This morning, we talked about dying to ourselves, dying to the flesh. Paul said, I die daily. He said, it's a daily thing. We're born in sin, and so our flesh, our nature, is to sin. And that'll always be there. Unfortunately, that don't ever change. What changes is which one you let control, hopefully. Hopefully we grow. And that's what I want to talk about tonight is living the new life, the good life in Christ, and some decisions that we make. Turn to Mark chapter 10. And I was going to write the page number down, but got to talking with my sister there and forgot all about it. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Whoever finds it first in our little Bible, tell me what page it's on. We'll start there. 28? 48. 48, all right. And I'll be there in just a minute. But tonight, you know, every day we make decisions. Sometimes it's which way to go, which route to take. You approach a city like Atlanta, and the beltway goes all the way around it. You can go to the east or to the west and wind up back in the same place. So you choose. Some decisions are easy. Maybe where to stop and eat, what clothes to wear. But what about, I've heard the term used, and it's okay, of course, I made a decision for Christ. In other words, or you might hear the term used, I gave my life to Christ. In other words, I made a decision to follow Christ. That's a little bit more serious decision, wouldn't you say? That's not one that we take lightly, or we shouldn't anyway. Some like that or some decision we come to, maybe marriage or maybe business. Some decisions are more difficult, aren't they? Some are not so clear. We had a lady owner operator here this morning, and we were talking about that thing, Christy. Y'all know her. And, sometimes that decision, you say, is this God leading me? Is this Satan tempting me? Or is this just me? And we've got to be careful. But living the new life in Christ is what we want to talk about. And that decision is one that, once we make it, it's good. It's good, but it'll cost you. It'll cost you. Nothing in life is free. John 3:16, how many has ever heard that one? For God so loved the world, right? He gave us his only son. And then in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes only to what? Steal, kill, and what? That's right. But he didn't end it there. What did he say? But I have come that you might have
life. Have it more abundantly.
What was that last part?
And have it more abundantly.
Right. Now, abundant life doesn't necessarily mean a lot of stuff, does it? Abundant life, to me, is having peace. No matter what's going on, if you can have peace, they own their own, Kerry and Sherry own their own business. And they were, I would say old truck drivers, but former truck drivers. Sometimes, it's hard to find peace because of the situations around us, situations facing us. But we can do that. In Mark chapter 10, where I hope you are, verse 17, there was an inquisitive young man came up to Jesus. He had all the stuff, according to this story. He had all the stuff that was supposedly make a person happy. Well, let's read what his story is here. Mark 10:17. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now, there's a saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, right? And the dying is not just the physical part, but the dying to self in flesh. So here's this guy, verse 18. So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. He's thinking, I'm okay. I passed the test here. But what did Jesus say? Verse 21. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, One thing you lack. Now, in this case, he was talking to a wealthy person. Okay? He hit him right where it hurts. And for us, if he told me, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, well, that wouldn't be a big deal, maybe, right? You know, don't take a whole lot. But he wouldn't approach me with that, maybe. He would hit me with something I want to see if I loved him. Well, what did he say? He said, One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, and look at that last part though, come take up the cross and follow me. Uh-oh. Now, to live the good life, the good life is a life filled with God's presence, with his peace, right? Now, how do we get that? Well, the only way to get that is submitting our life to him, saying, okay, God, whatever you do, whatever you want, I'll do it. I was talking to a man earlier this week, and a long-time friend of mine. I hadn't seen him in a long, long time. In fact, he's moved out of the country. He lives in another country now. And retirement, you know, and he's with what he makes over there, he can live like a king, so to speak. And he was telling me what all he had and what all he did, and you know, he just... But there was one problem. He wasn't happy. There's one little thing missing, you know. And if I'd have used Jesus' vernacular here, I'd have called him by name and said, One thing you lack, right? Give your life to Christ, because that's the only place you'll have peace. The only problem is this is a former big-time church worker. Now, what I mean by big time, he was there all the time, did a lot of work, physical work on the church building and all that. So he knew all that. In fact, when I called him, he approached me on Facebook, and he had a different name. He had a what we call a screen name, I guess you'd say. And of course, I didn't know who it was at first. And he told me his name. We got to talking back and forth, and I realized he needed some help. This guy's way down there and talking some stuff I didn't. It scared me. In fact, I told him, let's meet next week for lunch sometime while you're in town. And he said, okay, maybe that we can work that out. You know, we're back and forth. And then it was like the Lord said, no, right now. Go see him right now. And I dropped what I was doing. I did for his benefit, getting a shower. Went up there and we talked. But my point is this, like this man here, he had worked hard, he got a nice retirement. I remember when he retired, and his retirement was more than I was making and me working every day. So he's got a, you know, set up nice, but he can't live the good life because he's not happy. How many people we met like that, that's got stuff, but they're not happy? You were sharing, you know, earlier that you don't own a home. You don't have a home, mm-hmm. And then you see these people with these great big houses.
I've been in both shoes.
Yeah, but you're happier than some of them.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. Having the house is not a problem. Having the riches is not a problem. But a friend of mine used to be a big time lawyer in Atlanta named Linwood Maddock, and Linwood would say, you can drive a Cadillac as long as the Cadillac don't drive you. In other words, God wants us to have the very best, this good life. You can't have a real good life if you're broke, let's face it, right? So he wants us to have stuff, but when the stuff has us, then we have a problem. As I mentioned many times, my ideal, when I started out, when I was an owner-operator, bought my first truck in 1976, and the idea when I bought it in my corporate structure said that the reason that Trinity Transport Corporation exists is to glorify God and reach drivers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was designed, and I had these, you know, sugar plums, I guess, in my head, this big fleet of trucks, and all of it going to, and it was my heart's desire to supply or financially support a trucking ministry. Mind you, Truck Stop Ministries wasn't even a wild idea at the time. So anyway, but you see, that's where God came to me. I didn't have riches like this guy, but my dream, and he'll come to you and say, are you willing to give up whatever to come follow me? Remember he told him, take up your cross and follow me. Come follow me. Giving one's life to Christ is an easy thing to say, but a little more difficult to do because of this old flesh. When somebody says, I gave my life to Christ, around the South anyway, that's a term commonly used. But did we really give our life to Christ? Did we really say, I'm yours? There's an old song, I've shared this too many times, but one of my worship and praise songs, that's what I did on the Florida Turnpike because it's so boring. I just turn on a worship song, a tape then, and just let her play. Set the cruise control and go to Miami, you know. And I remember this song saying, I'm yours, Lord, everything I am, everything I'm not. I'm yours, Lord. Try me now and see if I can be completely yours. And I would ride down the road, you know, just praising God because I had a great job driving a big, fancy, large car, making a lot of money. You know, I was on top of the world. I was. And my boss backed me doing God's work, and he cussed every breath. I mean, it was just for me, it was a perfect situation. Until one night, when I was doing my worship and praise, God spoke to my heart and said, go home and quit. Turn in your notice. Of course, you know the rest of the story. But see, he will kind of hit us where we're at. Now, that don't mean everybody has to give up everything to serve God. No, he just said if you're willing to. Personally, I think, this is not in the Bible, but I believe if this guy here had said, give me 5 minutes, I'll appoint somebody to get rid of everything. I believe with all my heart, Jesus would have said, no, you keep it and use it. I just wanted to see. But he already knew, didn't he? God knew, Jesus being God, knew what he was going to say. So to live the good life, you know, there are certain requirements that he has for us. You know, my children, you know, or your children, when they're pleasing you, or an acquaintance, a business partner, you know, you can work good as long as you're in one mind, one accord, you know. And in my case, I can say about my children and my grandchildren now, I've got them on a little work detail so they make some money. But I inspect their work and tell them if you don't do this and this and this, you don't get any allowance. And wish I'd have done it with my children, but that's another story. I was out trucking then. But anyway, in the Old Testament, there's a book called Micah, M-I-C-A-H, and in chapter 6, here's what he has to say. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And listen at this. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? In other words, submit to him. Submit to him. And I find myself doing more and more of that as I go along. It's not automatic, or it isn't with me. This flesh keeps rising up and wanting to do what it wants to do right? I don't mean some kind of sin we might name, just not wanting to do what God wants. It could be just all kinds of things. God said in Micah there, and one reason that Jesus came, he was tired of sacrificial offering that people did as a ritual that really wasn't, their heart wasn't in it. And you know, in the Old Testament, they did all that, Micah recorded, would he be happy, you know, if I gave him calves a year old, which is, you know, the pick of the bunch? Would he be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Would that make him happy? No. He says, what God requires, what the Lord requires of you is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. He wants us to serve him out of a love for him. If you turn to Mark chapter 12 and verse 33, and again, I failed to write the page number down. I'm good at that, aren't I? I have good intentions, as they say. 52? Thank you. Mark 12, 33 says this. Another requirement, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And it goes a bit further in Matthew's gospel. He says we have to love our enemy. That, you know, I'm doing good till he said that. Yep, that's hard. When somebody's taking advantage of you and they do that in your business, I'm sure.
Do you understand it, though? Do you understand that, though?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And when it says enemies, don't mean that you're out shooting at each other. But it says love them, something to the effect of love them that despitefully use you. Mm-hmm. Love them, pray for them, that say all manner of evil against you. That's hard. Sometimes that's hard. But you see, that's the price, a price that we pay, so to speak, to have this peace and joy. To live in God's will. To say, you remember Jesus in the garden? He said, not my will, but your will be done. We need to get to that point in our life. Now, let me share a little promise that I've shared this a little bit before. I jumped on a promise. I was searching and wanting to get into this good life, this new life. Hadn't been a Christian long, and I was into the Word, and I ran across Psalms 37:4. We don't have it in the New Testament, but it says, delight yourself also of the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, the only part I saw was he'll give you the desires of your heart. I'm thinking, man, right there in the Bible, it says he'll give me the desires of my heart. But there's a phrase before that, right? Delight yourself in the Lord, or in other words, submit yourself totally to God, all right? And then I hooked that up with the end of John 10:10 that we quoted a while ago. You know, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, there's a lot of talk back in those days. This was in the early 70s. And a lot of talk about abundant life as in a lot of stuff. Well, I'm a human, okay? I want some of that stuff. I don't mind telling you. When I saw that, I jumped all over that. And then I thought, well, you know, to get the desires of my heart, if I have to delight myself in the Lord, I want to learn how to do that. And I did that. I did that. But then, as you know, some of you have heard before, when I found out how to do that, the only thing I wanted was to delight myself in the Lord. I didn't want the stuff anymore. Doesn't matter. We we live in a 1982 double-wide mobile home, but it's ours. You know, it's good for us. I don't care. I don't need that anymore. I don't need to chase the Joneses, you know, as they say. Don't bother me. I want to live where God wants me to live, you know. I mean, it's nice. It's just as nice as anything else. When I go in there and sit down, shut the door, sit down in my recliner, It's not a double wide, it's home. It's just as much home as if it cost $500,000 or more, right? And that don't bother me. If God blesses you with one that's 100 times that size, it don't bother me. I say, thank you, Jesus. That's fine. If that's what they want, that's okay. So what I've learning to live the good life, being totally submitted to God, and then pray for people. It seems like, though, sometimes those people that are despitefully using us, so to speak, those people that live so corrupt, is getting everything that you want. I don't know if you ever noticed that, but you see, Satan will bless you too. He blessed me for a while. He blessed me a lot. But the only problem was there's a catch to it. He owns you. And you have to play his little song. Well, giving my life to Christ in 1971 changed a lot of stuff. And then I began to learn to walk in his will, like I say. And as I grow, day by day, I'm learning more and more to live this good life, which is submitted to God. And I believe that God wants us to have the very best. The very best. But whatever that very best for me is, like I say, it may not be the same for you. I don't need all the stuff. You know, some you may have a different need from me. Well, I'm sure you do. See, he knew that I'd had a problem with pride. Back in the day, I mean, you know, if you didn't think I was the best truck driver in the world, just ask me, I tell you. I mean, I had an ego trip. I think back and laugh because that guy was stupid, you know. I'm glad he's dead. He died in 1971 and this one came out. This is, you know, that guy's gone. And I don't ever want him to come alive again. And even in my desire to build this trucking company, who knows? He might have looked down the road and saw pride coming back. You know, let's say I had 200 or 300 or 400 trucks. I might have been somebody so prideful that God wouldn't have been in 10 miles of it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. One thing sure, we won't never know now. Because if I go buy one for sale now, my wife tells me don't look that way. Just one, let alone a fleet. So, what I did learn was Matthew 6:33. Turn over there real quick. I want you to see this. And it's a common scripture. We've read it many a time, and you have too. Matthew 6:33 is the groundwork to living the great life. When you find that one, let me know. All right. Matthew 6:33 says, gives us the very basic instruction. What does it say to do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what will happen? All these things will be added to you as well. If you read back up in chapter 6, it talks about worrying about stuff that we have or don't have, right? And you know, I don't want to take away from old Job in the Old Testament. Anybody remember the book of Job and what all he went through? He let the cat out of the bag by saying one little statement. He said, what I feared the most has come upon me. So deep down in Job, even though he was a great man of God, he was, you know, and we don't want to take away from that, but he had a fear of losing everything. But when God took everything, or God didn't take it really, he let Satan do it. But when it happened, Job didn't turn against God, did he?
No.
He said, naked I came into the world and naked I'll leave. In other words, I don't need that stuff. And of course, as you know the story, if you read the whole book, you'll find out that God gave him twice back what he had. But there was that testing time. Just like God does with us today, just see, do you love me?
Do you think he sat and cried? Did he sit and cry?
Job
sat and cried over it.
He might have. He might have. Even his wife, and again, got to think of what this poor woman has gone through. His wife looked at him and said, why don't you curse God and die? Why don't you just give up?
She turned back
But you remember, she had just lost all of her children that day. Every one of them died in one day. I can't imagine losing one, let alone every one of them. And everything they had was gone the day before. So probably in 2 or 3 days' time, she went from being extremely rich with a big family to nothing. So, you know, we can't point our finger at her too much. But Job came through with flying colors because when he was tested, he stayed true to God. And that's living a good life, is keeping our anchor. You know, I think of that that old song, you know, the anchor holds and grips a solid rock. I think about a ship in a storm, and man, anchored down to something solid, you're okay. You know, that's where we need to be. And he said, you know, if we seek him first and his righteousness, then we will be okay. When I learned that and coupled it with the true meaning of Psalms 37:4 I mentioned a while ago, and hooked up with the last part of John 10:10 in the right way, then God began to bless me. And he'll bless you. I mean, you know, he wants to bless us, but he's got to be first in our life and say, Lord, it's yours. I have a friend in Texas that is a multimillionaire way out in West Texas. And he just, you know, if Bill walked in here, you'd think he was a ditch digger or something. Just a common everyday person. His wife is the same way. His children are the same way. And he's multimillionaire. And he said, he'll tell me, he said, Joe, it could all be gone tomorrow. And see, that's his attitude. I'm okay. I started with nothing. In fact, he wasn't even raised by his parents. He has such a dysfunctional background. This other fella took him under his wing and raised him, put him to work in the business. He wound up buying that business and quadrupled it 10 times over. My point is, but to Bill, he is still number one. All of that means nothing. And it's all for God's glory. Now, whether or not we get that big, whether it's $10 in our pocket or $10 million, it doesn't matter. God is still number one. And somehow he likes to keep me squirming, I think, at the ministry, because we never seem to have a cushion. He always takes care of the needs. He never fails. In 30 years, he has never failed, of course, and he's not going to fail as long as we do what he says, when he says. And our bookkeeper said something the other day. She said, I've learned so much since I've been working here. And I think she learned how to pray. I tell her, I spend it. You got to get it from somewhere.
That verse must have been really rough. Where's the money going to come from?
It'll come from the same place it's always come. We just don't know how or when. And I'm happy to say we operate debt-free. So that's God. That's God. I'm certainly not bragging about it. But if we don't plant, we'll never reap. And that's what she has learned. One of the things she's learned is she's watched that when we, and this is not really on the subject, but if we need a bigger garden, if I need to harvest more, just use the garden for example, you don't plant a smaller one, you plant a bigger one. Well, you got to sacrifice to plant. And that's God's method, you know, you sow, you reap. No questions asked. But we want to reap and then sow. It don't work like that. So to live the good life, to live this peaceful life, it's all his. I shared this morning about blowing a tire on a motorhome, you know, and I told y'all that story many times on a trip coming out of Idaho. And my attitude was, Lord, it's your tire. If you mind to spend the money out here, who am I to complain? You're going to get us a tire from somewhere. I mean, a little bitty town, a little old town, and looking for a Low Pro 22 new tire to put on the steering axle. Well, it was there. Of course, Bubba had it, and he knew it. He knew he had the only one. That's okay. God knew that when he created Adam, didn't he? So if we're living the good life, if we are living a life for Christ, you know, you dedicate your business to Christ, it's His. It's His problem, right? When it goes, when it's going up or going down, it's His problem. It's His. I had a driver, I want to share this with you. I don't know if I told y'all before. I had a driver teach me how to tithe.
Tithe.
To give.
Tithe.
Yes, tithe. And Scotty, I can use his name because he's in heaven now. Scotty gave us money every week. Scotty was a single man, and he worked for a company then that hauled for Kmart, local out of Newnan, Georgia up here. Anyway, every week Scotty was at the chapel, and every week he handed me cash money because he didn't want to receive. Of course, he didn't need it. And one day I finally got brave and said, Scotty, how do you tithe? Do you tithe on the net or on your gross? I'm just curious. He said, I don't tithe. I said, you don't? What do you mean you don't? You give me money every week. Every week. He said, no, no, Joe. I don't tithe. He said this, and I will never forget it. He said, I cash my check. And I hold the money in my hands. I get misty just thinking about it. He said, I hold the money in my hand, and I ask God, how much can I have? Not how much to give, but how much can I have? He said, I just give the rest away. I'm thinking, that's the attitude. Joe Hunter, get it. And I started doing that. Now, it took a while because my flesh didn't like that idea worth a flip, you know. How much can I have? Can I have that? What if my grandchildren all the time come to Granddad, I want that, you know. Can I have that? And we say yes or no, you know. Yeah. So I go to my father and say, can I have that? A lot of times he says no. But that's okay. All right, yes, sir. I don't need it, apparently. But a lot of times he says yes. And if it's going to bring glory and honor to Him, He'll say yes every time. If it's going to be a problem for me, then I don't want it. There's something going on now I can't share yet. Y'all will find out a little later. That would be the biggest honor I ever had. Literally the biggest honor I could ever have in this world. And it said they'd be considering giving me this honor. A certain place, a certain organization. And this is my prayer. First of all, I said, Lord, help me mean this prayer, because my flesh ain't going to like this either. If this would cause a problem with my life or my walk with You, then don't let it happen. If it'll glorify You, if it's good for the ministry, then I'll accept it. But if for any reason you look down the road and you see this is going to cause a hindrance, then I don't want it. Now, my flesh is saying, right? But if we live that life, and I'm saying this, confessing this in front of you so you can help me pray.
I see.
If it happens, of course, you'll see it, and it'll be in the newsletter or something probably. But if it doesn't happen, it's okay. I don't want anything to get in the way. I'd rather have my peace with God than anything. When you're in the middle of a crisis and don't know the way out, that peace means everything. I have no idea how this is going to work. Not long ago, the bookkeeper told me, she said, we don't have money for payroll. I said, oh, really? She said, no. I said, oh, okay. We pray. Everybody pray. I bet she really prayed. And everybody in the office started praying. And God produced, of course, as He always does, you know, of course. But now what would our flesh do? Our flesh says, oh, no, what are we going to do? Well, wait a minute. Somebody says about your ministry. I say, it's not mine. I don't want it. I want to work for Him. That's right. It's His and His responsibility. All my responsibility is to follow Him. And as long as I do that, I had a former pastor used to say, God's work done in God's timing never lacks God's finances. And you could take that at the bank with business as well. God's work, whatever it is, done in His timing, in His way, will never lack His blessing. Our life will never lack His blessing. We can have the so-called good life. Now, of course, the TV program, the beer commercial, you know, got all the bass boats and the this and that and the other as the good life. No, no. The good life is just being happy. Just being satisfied, right? And for some reason, our flesh always wants what we don't have. But we get our flesh under control. Tonight, if you're not there, if you're not where you want to be with God, we're going to close with our prayer like we always do. I don't know everybody's life. You don't know mine. I mean, you know, we may never see each other again on this side of heaven. You know, the guy predicted the world was going to end the other day. I think it was supposed to end Thursday. I saw it on TV in Tennessee, and I told Jan, I said, hallelujah, I hope he's right. I hope he's right. We'll get to go home today. Well, he was wrong, of course. We're still here, or I missed it. So you're still here, so I'm all right.
Yes.
But if there's something in your life that needs changing, I want to close with a prayer. And he said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that unrighteousness might just mean something we're holding on to God wants to turn loose. I know it is with me. There's things happening in my life. I'm constantly working on that flesh. If you would, pray this prayer with me, and I want it on the CD anyway, but if you will pray this with me, as people hear this CD, also praise this prayer. If we mean it from our heart, then He has promised to forgive us and cleanse us. Amen? Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Forgive me where I've done wrong. Help me to live the new life, the good life, one dedicated to you. Help me, Lord, to overcome my flesh, to let your Holy Spirit lead me in everything. I'll give you praise, give you the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.